Okay, hello everyone. Tonight I am joined by our webmaster, Nexa, the driving force behind Evolving RPG. Nexa and I have known each other close to 28 years now, and I had the pleasure many years ago of running in several of his games, both Marvel Super Heroes, Dungeons and Dragons. He kind of took a sideline, went more into the player role, and recently has jumped back into game mastering and getting in back behind the DM screen with a Pathfinder campaign that he's running online in Roll20. So very glad to be a part of that. And with that being said, I thought what better person to interview for our ongoing DM series than our own webmaster. So Nexa, thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk with me tonight. And I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself to the people that are listening to podcasts, and also the person that's behind Evolving RPG and a lot of the great articles that we're reading online. So can you give us a little bit of your background in gaming and what kind of got you started in this?
Well, thank you, Great Tom. As Great Tom say, I am Nexa, the webmaster of Evolving RPG. I am a gaming enthusiast. I love role-playing. I love playing World of Warcraft, and I love all things techie. As Great Tom has said, we've known each other for 28 years. Time really flies by. Great Tom was the one who actually got me involved in role-playing games. He ran the first game I ever played, which was Marvel Super Heroes. And then it just kind of went all the way downhill from there. This great journey of playing awesome games and building lots of memories. Evolving RPG was formed just because we love role-playing games, and they have been evolving over the years. Because if you were to ask me 10 years ago, would we actually be role-playing and people are in different states, I would probably say no. We're not there yet, or I don't see that happening. And now it surely is happening. So I want to take this time just to say thank you for listening to the podcast, and thank you for visiting the site. And hopefully you'll get something out of this interview.
Well, let's dive right into it then. So I remember that. It was a Marvel superhero game I was running in high school, going back many, many moons. Not that many moons, but a few. And you had come by to visit and had gotten interested, because remember, my brother was big into video games and I was not much of a video gamer. And I was running this Marvel campaign for a bunch of my other friends, and you kind of jumped into that group. But did you have any experience with it before that, or was that your first exposure to role playing? Did you know anyone else who was gaming at the time? Because the question I've always been dying to ask were you aware of role playing, like Dungeons and Dragons and these things, prior to that fateful day?
I was actually one of the friends I had, will go by his handle, Raythar. I used to work at a comic book shop called Chaos Imprint back in Chicago. It's closed down since then. But I used to work at the comic book shop before I met Great Tome. And I would see them all get together and play Dungeons and Dragons. And I just looked at them and said, I don't know what these guys are doing. It seemed like it took forever for them to roll up characters. So I wasn't really interested. That wasn't my cup of tea. But I was an avid Marvel fan. I collected Iron Man, Spider-Man, pretty much all of the Marvel books. And so when I saw the box in your room, that had really intrigued me, because I was like, wait a minute. I'm not aware of this comic book. What is this? So I just thought there was D&D and nothing else.
Which is funny, because Marvel Super Heroes was actually produced by TSR, the same company that produced Dungeons and Dragons originally before Wizards of the Coast acquired them. So,
and Top Secret.
And Top Secret too. Exactly. Yes, that's right. That was a TSR project. Well, that's good to know. I've always been kind of wondering, like, was that really the first exposure? I know it was the first time you really got a chance to play in a especially in a campaign setting. And as a sidebar to anyone who is game mastering, I need to add this. Ed is a new player came into this campaign, and we were all pretty experienced with this. And it's always important to explain the rules to new players. there's a funny story.
Explain it to them slowly as well.
Slowly, and especially make a difference between, you know, what may block a physical attack may not necessarily block an energy attack. There's quite a story there that maybe we'll get to here a little bit later in the interview. So got started that way. Now, you ran a lot of your own games, and they were in Marvel Superheroes, D&D games, and really they were homebrew games. These were stories that you wrote yourself. Now, does that still hold true? Do you prefer homebrew games where you're writing your own story versus a pre-printed or a module or campaign setting? Or do you prefer to kind of write your own story, go your own direction?
That's kind of a tricky question, but I will do my best to answer it. If given the opportunity, I believe I actually would prefer a module, because the module is all set up and laid out and you have everything you needed. However, being a player as well as a DM, I prefer the flexibility of actually creating a homebrew system because I can do more things with it. And so now I'm going to tell you a little story that's going to tie it all in. So when I did my first Dungeons & Dragons game, I had a dungeon magazine, and it had a campaign in it called As Flags Tower. Pretty much a brief summary of it is that As Flag the Wizard went missing, and things were going crazy in his tower, and the local townsfolks were scared, and so that's when the players had to come in and try to find out what's going on with this tower. Where is the wizard? So that game went really well. And I remember when I actually got the Dungeon Magazine and read the module, I read it at least three times before I actually DM'd it. And so I knew the inner ins and outs of it. And the feedback was so great. And when it was the end of the adventure, what the players didn't know is that Asflag was actually dead or assumed dead. But they wanted to continue on in that world. And so I had to kind of make my own homebrew system. And that's when I realized that if you make it up or you're on the fly, you can actually adapt to the players and kind of give them what they want or continue on the story instead of the module ends, there's nothing else, there's nothing left to do. So I start doing stories with the surrounding town. And so I personally prefer the homebrew because it just gives you more flexibility. But the laziness in me likes the modules because all of the work is done for you.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. So now, I know in previous podcasts for the DM series, we've addressed a lot of the different DMing styles that we have. I've been remarked that I kind of run a golden age, the heroes win in the end, good triumphs over evil, which I think pretty accurately kind of describes my game mastering system. Others take a grittier approach and a more realistic approach, or they're trying to not necessarily break characters, but challenge them and push them to limits and put them in situations where they really need to get into the heads of their characters and how they would respond to a real world environment. How would you describe your game mastering style? You know, when you're sitting down there behind the screen, you're either running a module, because even with the modules, you do the Game Master really has a lot of control over how that world is going to be projected to his players or her players. And with a homebrew, it's even more so that Game Master is crafting that world. So how would you describe your personal gaming style? What are you looking to do? What goes on in your head when you're running the game? What am I looking to accomplish here? What am I doing, and what kind of style do you use to bring that story out to the players and make it real?
Well, I actually think that I'm right smack dab in the mi middle. I like the gritty, but I like the heroic. What I actually look for, or actually try to achieve, is shades of gray. I want the players to not just think, oh, there's a goblin, I'm going to slay it. But I want literally that goblin to have a story. Why is that goblin fighting you? Could it be perhaps you're invading his cave? So there, I kind of, what I actually try to do is, number one, I want the players to really be attached to their characters, to really be invested, to really be the star of their own movie. And then at the same time, I want them to think about their actions, and I want their actions to have consequences. So yeah, I do want it to be gritty, and at the same time, I feel they're heroes. They should behave like heroes, but I try to muddy the waters and make it gray so that they kind of have to deal with things. And then I actually like to pull things in from, I guess I would say, from modern times into the games. And when I say modern times, I kind of think of, like, I would love to do sort of like putting a player on trial.
You've
Or,
never done that before,
a
actually.
player having to deal with kind of like a mass murderer or something like that, where it's something that, how would this work into a fantasy role-playing game?
Very good. Cool. Thank you. Now, you mentioned it hit on a little bit earlier when you kind of introduced yourself. I know you are a very active online gamer too. Quite a bit of success, actually, World of Warcraft, some other online games, and a long history of tabletop RPGs. Do you have one that you prefer more than other? I'm going to kind of call you out here. Is it the multiplayer online games you really prefer, or is it the cool kids playing the tabletop RPGs? Not that I'm biased one way or the other, but that's a little joke there. So, no, but
I
I
would
know you like both. Which one do you prefer?
I would actually have to go with the cool kids playing the tabletop RPGs. The reason being is, don't get me wrong, I love the video games, the PC games. World of Warcraft is pretty much all I pay, and I have to, first of all, my hat has to go off to Blizzard because I've been playing World of Warcraft for, I think, right about 12 years. And before then, whenever a new game would come out, I was buying a new game every month. Once I got World of Warcraft, that's pretty much all I play. Every now and again, I'll get StarCraft. I kind of like the Battlefront games, but I've been hearing bad reviews about the latest one, Battlefront 2. So I'm not sure if I'm going to get it. But that being said, the reason I like the tabletop RPGs is that I actually like the fact that I can actually reason something with the DM, and that the DM can be flexible enough to either allow it or disallow it. Whereas when you play a game such as World of Warcraft, you are limited to the game mechanics. There's only so much you can do. So
That is
in
true.
a World of Warcraft game, I can't pick up a bar stool and knock somebody across the head with it. I only can do what that game mechanic is. But in D&D, I could decide, oh, I'm gonna hide behind the bar or something like that. So I just, and I said D&D, but I'm talking about all games. I just like the tabletop because it's more interactive, and I feel like my decisions can be clever sometimes and outwit the DM.
Or you try, I should say. So, but no, thank you. That's pretty insightful. Because I know I played WoW for about 10 years, from about 2005 to about 2015 or so. And part of that was we didn't have a cohesive gaming group. We knew each other younger. We were high school, college. We had all this time to sit around a table together and run a game. Now we scattered to the four winds and WoW was one of the few ways to get that mechanic to get everybody back together. So I know enjoyed that, but now with some new online tools, the tabletop experience has moved along. So No, thank you. Thank you, Nix. I appreciate that. Now, I need to delve into something here. You mentioned this again in your intro. You kind of took this whole gamer thing to another level. A lot of us are players, game masters, dungeon masters. We're running games. We may be writing our own stories, running campaign modules. I'm doing one of each right now. I've got a homebrew game, and I'm running the Curse of Strahd module. But you went one more level. You said, okay, yeah, instead of just being a player or even a game master, you created an entire website devoted to role-playing, evolvingrpg.com, that everyone's listening to now. And I posted articles and book reviews and things on that site. But that was no small endeavor to do this. And I know Evolving RPG has evolved itself. It's evolved over the years. So what was the inspiration for you to go from just, okay, basically, oh, I'm gaming, I've got a gaming group, I'm even online in a larger organization like Roll20, where I'm online with other players, but you created a website to not only deal with a particular game or games that you're in, but gaming in general, articles from a wide range of sources covering a multitude of topics, riddles, fiction writing, everything you could think of that kind of works into the gaming world really kind of came together, and that's always impressed me. And I was just wondering, what was the inspiration? What made you sit down there one day and say, you know what, I'm going to build a website, not devoted to a game or to my games, but to all games, to gaming in general? What was the inspiration for that? And what kind of led to, okay, and honestly, how did you come up with the name evolvingrpg.com? So.
Okay, so that's a very loaded question. I'm gonna get to all of your points though. So once I was done with college and I came home, I wanna say that I sat around for maybe 6 months until I got my first job. We were still meeting together. You weren't meeting so much with us, Graytone, but some of the other people were meeting regularly. I would say once a week or once every other week, and we start doing role-playing games. And I'm the type of person that I actually learn by doing. So in my new job, I was actually the webmaster, and there were a few things I wanted to try out for my company's website, but rather than breaking it, I decided I'll just build myself a test website and work on that. Thus, RPG World was born. And RPG World went on for about, I want to say about maybe 6 or 7 years. I'm not 100% sure how long it lasted, but I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Oh, it was RPG World, and that went on for about 5, 6 years.
So RPG World went on for about 5 or 7 years, but it was using a dynamic domain, and it was a third-party hosting company. Basically, what happened is that they changed their policies, and so I lost my domain. And when I lost my domain, I lost access to that name, and some hacker or somebody else swooped in and actually took the name and mirrored the site with their own things and put up a lot of advertisement. The whole point of the site was, number one, to discuss my passion, to discuss some of the games we were having, to have an open forum for all things role-playing related. So I was kind of bummed for about a few years because I felt like this, I spent all that time, got all these users. We were normally getting like 200 unique users a day. People were interacting, posting on the forums, and to have to rebuild over again was just kind of intimidating. So at some point I said, you know what, let's just go ahead, tear the bandage off, and I went ahead and developed Evolving RPG. I wanted to mirror RPG World, but at that time I recognized that things are changing now. There are tools coming out. You can have apps. You can build your own apps. Role-playing games have to be evolving. You saw more MMOs coming on. They still weren't necessarily beating tabletop, but I could tell that I could see things were changing. So that's why I picked the name Evolving RPG, because I felt like role-playing games were evolving. And so not only did I want to cover tabletop, but I wanted to cover video games. Now, I'll admit, if you look at the site now, there's not much to the video games, because I actually look for games that really kind of focus on some role-playing aspect rather than just hack and slash. And then thanks to Kirby, we have some reviews on board games, which, if you're listening to this podcast, there's a previous podcast back where a bunch of us are talking about role-playing games versus board games and how the two can feed off of each other. So
Yeah,
I
Kirby's a
think
big
that
fan of
should have
those
got,
RPGs in a box. Yeah.
yeah, I think that should have answered all of your questions.
That's really it's always been something I've been meaning to ask you for years, especially recently as Evolving RPG in the last couple of years really started to take off, and always wanted to kind of know. And I thought it was an interesting thing to share with the people that are listening here. Who get into the mind of the person that's behind this. Evolving RPG is really your baby. It's your creation, and you're kind of letting us in and kind of jump in there. So I'm honored to be a part of it and to be involved with it and recording podcasts and posting articles, and I'd really like to see that community grow. And so thank you very much, Nix. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Now, jumping out of
Thank you for
that.
coming with the journey.
Well, life is a journey, not a destination. So and always always evolving. So always changing and new things coming along. Now, in terms of gaming, what would be your best memory? I mean, you said a couple gamers around here, and we'll go on for hours about these great adventures we had when someone, if you're running the game, your players ruin something by figuring out a solution that you had never thought of. Or you know what, hey, there was this great event, this cliffhanger ending, or everything came down to one roll. We all have these stories. What's your best gaming memory, if you can narrow it down to one? I understand that you may not be able to, because you take a couple of them together at Gen Con. There's no one story that's like, oh, hey, just remember this one time. It's, hey, how about these 100 cool things I can tell you about? So I've always laughed, especially as we get older and more of these memories build up, and it's just the kind of feigned animosity behind between game masters and their players. I know there are players I jokingly say, you know what, you're still on my number one hit list for something you did when we were in high school because you didn't go through a door I was expecting you to. But it's just it's all in good fun, and it's the good players where you make those memories for me. If you can narrow it down to one or even a couple, what's the best gaming memory that you have?
Okay, I'll narrow it down to a couple. First, as a GM, going back to my original story, As Flag Tower. When I ran that campaign, I had such a captivative group of players that were just really enjoying the module and trying to figure out what was going on. The amount of attention that they were paying to all the details, fighting the monsters, the traps, the scenario. I got several compliments that the game felt Ravenloft-ish. And Ravenloft was re relatively a new module that had just came out. This was when it was first released, or at least for, I want to say, a second edition that we were playing. Release for second edition. So as a DM, it was really satisfying to know that the players were really enjoying the adventure that went on for roughly, that module went on for roughly about a month. And we're talking 4 to 5 hour sessions a night, once a week. As a player, one of my most memorable moments was actually running in one of Art of Magnus' game. Now, Art of Magnus and I go way back when it comes to playing the Paladin. And I'm just going to say it right here. Number one, that man loves the Paladin class. But number two, I feel like he feel like he's not worthy to play it, so he will never play it. Number three, since he has that contradiction in between him, his sole mission in life is to make the Paladin lose his Paladinhood. So with that being said, I played a Paladin Cavalier in his campaigns, and I was having a hard time with my fellow players because they would say stuff like, go attack this Paladin, or go do this Paladin, or Paladin, you can't keep attacking creatures and then running off when we come to help you. And just the level set, as a Cavalier, I had kind of like a weakness or a flaw that I always had to go and attack the biggest, strongest monster and try to defeat it in single combat. And if someone was to assist me and there were other monsters on the board, I would still have to move and try to fight them in single combat because I was always looking for the challenge. So one particular night, I had been working late and I was really tired, and I was playing we were playing the game. We were actually fighting against werewolves, and we actually saw and I wrote an article on the website about this. I'm sure you could probably find it if you look for it. But we actually were trying to find out why the elves were coming out of the forest seeking safety amongst the human settlers. And so we ventured out, and what do we meet? A vampire. So I twirl my magical sunblade and make light, and the vampire tells me that when you're as old as I am, sunlight doesn't hurt you. Wraithar decides to throw a dagger at my hand and knock my holy symbol out of my hand. So on one hand, I was really tired, and I said, I had enough. You just can't push the Paladin around. So I became that guy. So I told him, I said, prepare to defend yourself. And we fought, and we did massive amount of damage to each other while the werewolves were attacking us. The werewolves attacked us. I was still very low on hit points, and I actually fought the main werewolf. And Art of Magnus is a slick'em. But basically, I had to do his hit points and damage in one single round. Otherwise, he would regenerate all of them back. So I'm wailing on this guy left and right, left and right, left and right. And just could not kill him. He actually rolls a 20 that was going to be a critical hit on me. And I say, well, I'll go to parry. And Art of Magnus says, you do realize he rolled a 20. I said, well, what do I got to lose? He was like, okay, I rolled a 20. So I actually deflected the blow. And then I actually managed to roll additional 20s near about killing him. And then some interesting way, I actually passed out temporarily. That's me saying Art of Magnus didn't want me to kill his werewolf. So when I come to, I go to find my horse that was spooked by all this battle, and another player was poking fun at my character, saying that, you know, oh, did the poor knight lose his horse? And so once again, I'm at this point where I'm so exhausted that I'm feeling like this is crazy. So I looked at him and I said, I'm supposed to look up to you, and you're acting like that. So I actually punched his horse, made him fall down. And so he pulls his sword up to my neck and say, I won't stoop to your level. I go to find my horse. I get to my horse and I tell it to come. And then Illithan, the ranger of the party, tells my horse that I knocked out the other horse. So now my horse, which is a war horse, is bucking and in a attack stance. So now it's a battle of wits between the paladin and the ranger to get the horse to come to the other. So finally, I just let my cavalier, my paladin aura shine. And Artur Magnus says that the horse comes to me and like bows down.
Oh, that's cool.
At that point, I felt so satisfied because all of the frustrations that I felt like I was having with the players, I think I actually took care of in that night. And I remember Artur Magnus saying that, okay, Nexa, you have proved that you're not a pushover, that paladins are not a pushover, that the party should not be abusing you. I'm going to ask you not to be so heavy-handed anymore. And it's just so memorable because even though it seemed like, you know, there was party conflict, after that, I want to say most of the sessions were smooth sailing. We worked as a very harmonious team, playing off each other's strengths and weaknesses.
That's cool. Just brought that paladin aura to bear there, so. That's a cool memory. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Nexa. Now, on the flip side, you know, and for me, it's been, you know, there have been mistakes I've made as a player. Times I've gotten frustrated with, you know, not being able to figure something out. Or as a game master where it's like, okay, I thought something was a good call. And then looking back on it, it's like, you know what? That just wasn't a good idea. Or, you know, a rule set I couldn't quite get my head around. You know, even a story that I thought was really cool, very interesting, and the players are just like, "Well, where's this going? It wouldn't resonate with them, and they weren't really into it." And meanwhile, I thought it was a great idea. So it's kind of figuring those out. Now, with that being said, what would one of your less appealing? I don't want to use the word, you know, worst, because that implies to, I think, some too much negativity in the memory, but you know, where's one where it's like either as a game master or player you fell short of the mark, or you know, something you were running or a bad call that you made where it's like, okay, we're gonna do it this way, and it turns out that wasn't the best way to handle the situation in hindsight. But do you have something where it's like, okay, you know what, hey, I kind of fell short of the mark in this particular case?
Actually, I have two short stories.
Okay,
the first one was that I was trying to get my wife to actually play Dungeons and Dragons, and she actually looked through the book and couldn't decide whether or not she wanted to play a paladin or a druid. And I thought, this is going to be so great. So as the DM, I was actually prepping my game, and I asked another player to go over the rules and help her roll up her character. The player showed no patience toward her and completely, and to this day, turned her off to the game. I completely blame myself because I should have took the time to coddle the new player, which in this case was my wife. But what can you do? The second such story I have is I was running a game when I was still away at school, but I had came home for the weekend, and I kind of got some rules crossed up and basically wasn't allowing a fighter to do his strength damage with a dagger. And I just became so adamant that I really wouldn't listen to his argument. And so I just felt like, you know, I had to go back to the person and apologize. And so I kind of made a rule now that I actually will listen to what players say and give them a little time. Usually, you know, 5 minutes or so, that I will actually review it. If in the event that it's for their life of their character, that time goes up exponentially. So I can do 15 minutes to a half an hour. But at some point I will, you know, you may have to cut things off, but just trying to remember everything and saying no, I don't mind stopping the game now and looking up a rule if it needs to be looked up, especially something that was dealing with their damage, because I didn't want the player to have a bad experience. So that just kind of gave me a little bit more patience as a DM. Mostly all of these have been good learning experiences.
That's good. Yeah, turn your negative into a positive. And I think, you know, as players, I know some of us, and it's come up in podcasts, where everyone kind of has their own gaming style, and the patience level for new players can vary somewhat. You know, I know you're very accommodating to new players. I'm very accommodating to new players. You know, I want to get them involved in the hobby. But I think your first story is, you know, trying to introduce your wife to it. And then another player is like, well, you know, this is the way you do it. This is how you got to go. And it's, you know, I think as players, we have to remember that, you know, when we're introducing someone new to this, you know, the goal is to make it appealing for them. You know, it's not about, oh, well, you should know, you should do this, you should do that. You know, I think that's happened to all of us. And in that particular case, I really would put that blame more on the other player, just to kind of clear your own conscience than your own. Because, you know, any of us who have run games, and if you're listening to the DM series, odds are you have, you know, there's prep work that goes into it. You're getting everything lined up, getting the table set up the way you need it to. You may have a map and minis you're getting set up. If it's online, you're getting the various virtual tabletops ready to go. You know, you're tweaking those things. And then we're sitting down ready to play. So you've got to hand off some other things to them. So it's just unfortunate to hear that happen. But I would not personally, I might be biased being a good friend of yours, you know, but still, I would question whether the player would be more patient with new players. Because, yeah, if you turn someone off of this, it's kind of hard. People are like, nah, it's not really my thing. And I try to once, nah, it's just, you know, it's not for everybody. But, you know, we definitely have to take that time to introduce new players to the game. But really appreciate you sharing that with us. Now, as has been tradition in all of the DM series podcasts, I'm going to ask that one question that, you know, seems to trip everybody up, although a lot of them kind of jumped in there. We seem to be skewing to one side. But out of all the games that you played, run yourself or run in, which one is your favorite? You know, what's that game where you're like, that's my go-to game?
Yeah, this question really does always trip everybody up. Right now, I actually have to say it's a dead tie between Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder. Actually, no, I changed that. It has to be Dungeons & Dragons. Because I don't want to offend the Pathfinder people, because I love it. But really, Pathfinder came from Dungeons & Dragons 3rd edition, the SRD. So the underlining game is actually Dungeons & Dragons. I just love the whole fantasy thing theme with Dungeons & Dragons.
That's cool. Okay, so that was actually pretty easy for you. A couple people kind of wavered on it. So, but if I remember correctly, D&D is overall kind of the main go-to one. So no problem. So D&D being your favorite, what is it about D&D that really kind of strikes you? I know you've started running Pathfinder, and I'm really enjoying, you know, you talked a little bit about your gaming style where, you know, you want the player's actions to have consequences. Just to let everybody listening to the podcast know, Nexus set up a pretty interesting adventure scenario for us, starting out as first level characters in a small town. And, you know, as part of the goings on in this little town, which was next to a large riverbed and the ocean shore, people would bid out jobs. And as adventuring first level characters looking to cut our teeth in the world, you know, we found ourselves, you know, kind of going through our day to day lives for the most part of it, knowing that this big meeting was coming up and that these jobs are going to be bid on. So the two of us being, you know, the heroic characters that we are, me personally getting used to higher level characters, I played for a longer time feeling pretty much invincible at first level, you know, we're provided with a wide range of options. And one of them was you know, hey, we need a crew to sail up the coast to deliver this cargo. And it's like, hey, that sounds cool. We're going to do that. You know, we'll fight sea serpents and mermen, and there'll be all kinds of interesting things going on. So we'll do that. And another offer was, well, we have a caravan that's going out into the wilds, and we're going to need someone to guard that. And we're like, whoa, okay, forget, you know, I might get seasick. Let's go with the caravan. We will follow that, and we're going to have all these adventures. And then Nexa threw a curveball at us we were not expecting. And it involved two little kids who said their house was haunted by the boogeyman. And, you know, of course, the way he ran this and the options you gave with us, you kind of made us feel like, okay, we've got to help these little kids. You know, it's a matter of, okay, you know, we really want to do some serious adventuring, but fine, we'll go figure out what's going on with this thing. And I don't want to give too much away, but Nexa set up as the boogeyman nearly killed us. And at one point we had actually thought about splitting up to check two locations here. So appreciate nearly getting killed by the boogeyman in your game. But that's a Pathfinder game. So what?
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of like, okay, you're knocking you down a notch. Because you know, playing the higher level characters we played for a while, it's like, wait a minute, I don't have access to Fireball. I don't have all these cool spells. I don't have all these hit points. Wait a minute, this is actually... this little boogeyman creature, this is a problem. So, so what was it about D&D that kind of drove you? Is it the rules? Is it just the history of it all? Is the, they've got huge campaign settings. I know you're running a My Curse of Strahd game, and we're really enjoying that. That's a very rich world. But, you know, what is it that kind of drew you towards D&D?
It's all of those things. It's the fact that there are knights, paladins, druids, elves, dragons, all of that. Just it actually provides a good escape from the day-to-day monotony of life. And for a brief moment, you're a hero or a villain in some people cases, trying to make a difference. So I like how it's so open-ended, and even though it wasn't the first game I played, it still was the first game that a lot of other games are based upon. So it just has a very special place in my heart, but I love the fact of everything that it spawned from, well, I was going to say World of Warcraft, but some of this stuff is actually spawned from Tolkien. But I just love that whole world, that whole the sky is the limit. And Buck and I actually started making a list of things that we wanted to do in D&D, sort of like our own bucket list. And we've actually been checking them off, but I'm sure there's more things to come up, because for the longest time, for years, I wanted to fight a giant. And Buck saw to it that I fought a giant. Still want to do a very nice, long sea adventure where I'm on a ship and maybe get attacked by pirates. But I just find that there's so much that you can do, or so much that you can participate in Dungeons & Dragons, and to a other extent, other games. But Dungeons and Dragons just seems to be the granddaddy. The fine wine that seems to keep getting better and better. At least 5th edition is much better than, say, 4th edition. But that's a story for another day.
Exactly. And that is going to be another podcast I want to run where we debate that. Because I have heard some previous Dungeon Masters have said that or game masters have said that Pathfinder is like chess and D&D is like checkers. And I have some philosophical disagreements with that based on the premise of the complexity and simplicity of these games. But that definitely is a topic for another day. But cool. Thank you very much. That's an awesome answer there. So it's just it's always an interesting question, kind of get a feel for what draws people to the game. So. And we have to see what we do about that pirate one, because I actually ran a recent homebrew game and I realized it had been so long since I had actually run Dungeons & Dragons in a dungeon. Like, where we actually just went into a dungeon and did a dungeon crawl, and there were monsters and treasure and things like that. And we were looking for something that is in the dungeon. We were always outside for some reason or another. But just doing a real dungeon delve, and that was something I really wanted to get back to that I had actually been itching for. So, hopefully I will see what I can do about getting you into a boat, because I think that'd be pretty cool. Because I think I noticed, and you know, I don't know if it's just the difficulty of the terrain, but you know, looking back on it, I have only played in a handful of games where it actually took place on open water, where we're traveling by boat. And come think of it, that would be an interesting knock off the gaming bucket list. So, you know, it's interesting you bring that one up, because it's like, yeah, you know what? And I don't really run games. They're always on the ground looking for something or other. So, cool. Very cool, Mexa. So, now, kind of moving along, the years of experience that you've had for gaming and, you know, kind of learning from the things that work well, things that don't work so well, and, you know, that constant evolution of our play styles and game mastering styles. What advice would you give for someone who is newer to the hobby of role playing and is looking to take that step and, okay, I'm going to run the game? Because, you know, hey, it is, you know, it's a lot more work. I remember running a friend in a game one time, and she knew it had taken over a week to write out these various encounters and adventures. And, you know, a few hours later, you know, it was a short one shot adventure. And she remarked, it's like, I know you've been working on this thing for over a week, and it's only for a couple hours of game time. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's a labor of love. It takes a lot of work to organize encounters and balance these things. But what advice would you give someone who's new to that, who's like, okay, I'm going to step behind the shield and I'm going to run a game, you know? But what advice would you give that person? They went and said, Nexa, I'm going to do this. You know, what advice do you have for me? What did you learn? What advice would you give to someone who is just going to start the, because I'm assuming if you're listening to the DM series, you've got some interest in either dungeon mastering, which typically means D&D, but generally speaking, in most games, it's game mastering. You're the one running the game. So I'm assuming you have some interest in that and are listening to this podcast. So what is your advice to those new game masters who are going to run their own campaigns, whether it be printed, they're going to make their own homebrew? What advice would you give them?
Right. Well, you segue into this really good. The first thing is preparation. You just have to prepare. The second thing is just realize that you will make a mistake. You won't be able to find a rule. You will hit a snag in your game. It's okay. It's okay. Do not beat yourself up over it. The main thing, we have to go back to rule number one. Preparation. You want to be as prepared as you possibly can. The more experience you have, the easier that'll become, but even the most experienced DMs, DM stands for Dungeon Master, GM stands for Game Master, the two terms can be interchangeable, just a quick synopsis summary. But even the most experienced GMs still need to prepare. So do your homework. Also, while you're preparing, you don't have to prepare for every single thing. Some things you're going to have to learn how to just ad lib as you go along. Which is why I recommend that if you're DMing, you have a notebook. Even if you're doing it online like we are, you have a notebook and you jot down notes as you're playing. Anything that strikes you as, I need to remember this for future games, because it will matter down the line. And then finally, you want to make sure, as the DM, that your players are enjoying the game and having fun, and you're having fun. Nobody should be looking at the actual game as a chore or a burden. Everyone should be getting something out of it. And if the very first game they're not getting something out of it and they don't like it, take that criticism, ask them what can you do to improve the game. If you see the players doing something that is disruptive, either take them to the side or bring it up amongst the whole group. But you, in order for a game to be successful, you have to communicate with each other. It's a two-way street. The DM has to communicate with the players. The players have to communicate with the DM. Now, I happen to be a stickler for time. I feel like if players set aside time, I want to be respectful of their time.
Absolutely.
There are things that are outside of our control, and this is not a dig at anyone, but there are things that are outside of our control that delay the game. And for some players, that's fine. But I try to always start my games on time because I'm just so appreciative that the players carved out time in their schedule to play my game. And so I want to make sure that I get as much time out as I can. So just to recap, prepare, prepare, prepare. Communicate, communicate, communicate. And fail often. Fail fast. And then learn from those failures to make it better. And I promise you, if you just follow those, you are on the road to being a good DM or GM.
Well, that's a great answer, Nexon. I really do want to drive that point home, too, that you do those things. And ultimately, yeah, we're here to have fun. And you know, it's like, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it is a labor of love. And I can tell you, and this does, you know, it's, I don't want to kind of toot my own horn, but I want to put a little focus on Nexa, as a player. You know, my job gets very busy this time of season, with the holidays coming up, a lot of other things going on. It's getting stressed out. And Nexa and I were talking about, okay, you know, we're running the Curse of Strahd game, and we're coming up. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but there's an encounter from the location of Yester Hill and the Wizard of Wines. You know, and those of you who've run the campaign kind of know what I'm talking about. It's pretty intense what's going on. You know, lots of decisions for the players. And, you know, I lined up all these encounters, got all this done. I was busy and said, you know what? I think we're going to have to take a hiatus and hold off for the holidays. And maybe we'll pick this up in January. It's just a lot going on. And I can tell you, and Nexa is in that group. So we get going, we get started, and you know, this encounter is going on, and there's all kinds of action going on and decisions making, and we're getting role playing in, and the character's really getting into, okay, we've got a lot of different things going on. You know, there's lots of different decisions, and you know, it charged me up, you know, with you guys as players doing it, and it's just like, yeah, you know what? Hey, what we got to do this in December. We got to do this again. So, and it's really having fun. The preparation's key, you know, so that's great advice. I think if new game masters there, and I really do like it, I think because you bring up something next to that other DMs haven't brought up in their interviews, and it's fail fast and fail often. You are going to make mistakes. We've all been there, you know, so it's, we've all made that bad call. And I really think that's good advice that you bring up, that, you know, you're going to whiff that call. It's happened to me. I've made bad calls in games, and sure, you have. Well, you brought up some advice, examples of that, actually, just earlier, where it's, you know what, I mean, a call just wasn't right. Well, you got better, you know, and so that is terrific. That is terrific. So, you know, I want to thank you, Nexa, for taking time out of your schedule. And do you have any final thoughts for newer, experienced players? And I think you summed it up real well when you gave advice for new game masters, people looking to get started there. But any final thoughts for the people out there listening to these podcasts who are interested in this hobby? Any words of wisdom to relay? So,
well, let me just add on to the previous question that you said, but from a player standpoint, for new players, I would recommend, if you're starting out the game, just learn just enough to know how to find the information you need for your character. Don't try to read the entire book. You want to actually struggle. You want to try to figure out, you know, what's my AC? Because it will come naturally. What you really want to focus on is the actual game. enjoying the game, immersing yourself in the world, because that's where you're going to get the great stories that you say, you know, we fireball this person. as a player, I really do slack off and don't really try to learn all the rules in or out, and I'll be the first one to ask the DM, what how do I do this? Oh, I want to do this, because that's what they're there for. As a DM, now you're going to have more preparation, but as a player, take the time to actually just enjoy the game. Really imagine yourself in that world. How would you react? And I promise you, as a player, especially a new player, you'll get a lot out of it. And eventually, you'll know what AC means. For some of my older players, you'll know what THACO means. It just comes as you play more and more and more. And then finally, I just want to say thank you, Greytone, for doing this interview. I definitely appreciate it. I have to also say thank you because you are the person who actually got me hooked on games, as I said earlier. We still have to have some closure on some of those games. And as some people will know, you know, my favorite character, Kinetic Kid, had no weaknesses.
Oh, that was a... Okay, that's a podcast definitely for another time. I think we need to have instances of nerd rage that happened at Gen Con.
My final thing is Tilt Dodge Forever.
Ah, God, another Bane. Our Robotech campaign during college. Oh, my God, the Tilt Dodge. How many natural 20s I lost on that one, so... And there's probably somebody who's going to email me saying that, well, you know, a natural 20 can't be avoided. If I remember the Palladium rules right, that was actually a last... It was something interesting. It did trump the natural 20 rule, so...
But good times. And so thank you for this interview.
Thank you, Nexa. I would really appreciate it and sharing everything, because I really wanted to let people know, who's the guy behind the curtain? You know, keeping this site up and running and making sure articles get posted. Two of us got email today from everyone's favorite webmaster saying, hey, you guys promised me some articles. Where's it going? Month's almost up, you know, so where's the stuff? So, he does a lot of work goes into keeping this site up and running. And, I just want to let you know that I really do appreciate it, Nexa, what you do. You've brought a lot of people together on this site. And, you know, I, for one, am really, really enjoying contributing to this. So it's just I wanted the people out there that are listening to these podcasts to know a little bit more about you and who's the driving force behind it. You know, this is really a site by gamers for gamers, but thank you so much for putting this hard work together, bringing the site up and keeping it running, you know, and doing this. So really appreciate that. And with that, I'll sign off and thank everyone. Definitely recommend checking out the other podcasts if you enjoyed this one. If you haven't listened to the rest of the DM series, Nexa handled the first series of them. I've been jumping in here with the phase two interviews, a little different questions, just different perspective, and definitely wanted to let you know and introduce you to our esteemed webmaster and a very good friend of mine. So I want to thank all of you for listening in, and would love to hear your comments about the podcast. So definitely comment on the website. If there's a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about, please shoot us an email. We're greytome@evolvingrpg.com, nexa@evolvingrpg.com. You know, shoot us an email. If there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. You know, we really want to share as much as we can with the community, and we really value your input would entice you to, if there's an article that you want to write or something you want to do, hey, get involved. You know, it's a community, and we'd love to hear from you. So thank you, everyone. Truly enjoy this privilege of you spending a little bit of time listening to us talk about something that we really do love and a lot of good memories along with this hobby. So thank you very much, and hopefully we'll see you all again very soon for the next podcast.
Thanks, everyone.